Hello, welcome to Outdoors in Scotland. I'm John Burns, and this is my podcast for people who like to be, well, outdoors in Scotland, I guess. It's getting to the end of the year now, and we've had our first snow in the Cairngorms and on Craigmaggie and places like that. So it's getting exciting. It's getting exciting. The first brush of snow on the hills always inspires me, you know. It inspires me to rush out and get cold and realise how unfit I am usually. So my guest today is a painter and an author who says she does a bit outdoors, with running and climbing. And I think she probably does a bit more than she's actually letting on, really. But I wanted to talk to her about her new book, Mountain Stories, and a bit about what she's been doing, generally speaking, in the hills. So my guest is Heather Dorr. Hello, Heather. How are you?
Hi there, John. I'm good, thank you.
Great, great. Now, I wanted to sort of jump straight in, really, because I had a look at your book, Mountain Stories, and you've written, well, a few things I wanted to talk to you about, really. You've written about Ben Hope, and well, I think you mentioned where the little sign, there's a little sign that says Path Up to Ben Hope, which is fairly handy, I guess. That's actually just around that area. Is one of my favourite places to camp in Sutherland. It's just a wonderful little remote spot. I wondered what drew you to Ben Hope.
What drew me to Ben Hope? Well, you know what, I was spending some time up in Assen with my partner Aidan, and this would have been about 12 years ago now. Aidan is a Munro bagger, and I'm not really a Munro bagger, although I love the Scottish Hills and I've been up as many of them as I can. So we were there to go and climb. We also climbed Ben Kilbreck that day, and we were there to go and bag Ben Hope. That's what. But at the same time, you know, it was a beautiful day. Actually, it was spring, and there was real mist about the place. And as we got higher up the hill, up the mountain of Ben Hope, the mist became a bit clearer, but it didn't fully clear. But the sunlight came through, and it was quite ethereal. I was there to go and bag Ben Hope, but at the same time, really just experience the mountains.
I mean, it's a special place, I think, Sutherland, and particularly that area. And you mentioned the flow country. I mean, that's what I really like. I think it's really spectacular is the way those mountains just rise out of the bog in a way.
Yeah, and very much. And that's much how I remember them. One of the hills I didn't climb that day, we didn't climb, was Ben Loyal. That would have been awesome, because that looks a striking, beautiful hill. And like you say, the way they rise up, and you've got the flow land, which is bog, which doesn't sound that attractive, but when the light gets on it, it can be just absolutely stunning. And with like you say, with the mountains rising up, you know, out of it, it's a very striking place to be.
Yeah, it is. I was there probably last winter sometime, and I was fortunate enough to, I was in the Bothy Ac na Carlach, which is just on the sort of overlooks the flow country. And for the first time in my life, really, I got a great view of the Aurora Borealis, which was stunning. What I like about that landscape, a couple of things, really. I think it's really empty. It feels empty, but it also feels, I don't know if you get this feeling, it kind of feels primeval in the, I reckon that view across the flow country probably hasn't changed much in like 10,000 years. I don't know if that's right, but that's what it feels like.
Yeah, it's it kind of does feel like that. I mean, I get a bit when I'm up there, and it's I don't think I'm up there as much as you, John, unfortunately for me, because I do love the place. But when I am up there, and I write about this in Mountain Stories, it's memory, because you know the Scottish lands have been cleared, haven't they? And
yes.
There were more people up there in times past, and in a way there's a sense of vast emptiness up there, which is fantastic. But at the same time, it's sort of resonant with all the memories of the people that were there before. So I don't know, that's it's kind of haunted place, really. I think
I suppose it is. That's a good point, really, because we do tend to think of it as a big empty place, but you're right. The population at one point was about 10 times what it was. And generally, and what I find fascinating sometimes is any empty glen or empty valley, for folk to put it in English terms, that you wander into, you'll always find ruined cottages
Yep,
and sort of
shillings.
vestiges of a life that was once there and has gone, really.
Yep.
I'm not sure whether the Flow Country itself, I don't know how, I could be wrong, I don't know how well populated that was.
I don't think it was significantly populated at all, but certainly, there were certainly more people living there
Yeah, there would have been
than there
more
are now.
people,
Yeah. So,
you know.
but yes,
So.
it's. I mean, it is. It's beautiful, and it's. Yeah, it's and of course the nature about it. It's very unusual that ground. It's not found.
Yes.
The bogland and stuff. It's not found in many places in the world, and it's studied as such. So
That's right,
yeah, it's a
that's right.
special place. A special
I mean,
place.
there's a huge amount of carbon tied up in that bog,
Yeah,
isn't there? I
very much.
believe. And that's
Yeah.
beginning to be increasingly more sort of significant. Another of the places that you wrote about, I wanted to ask you about, because I've not been, you say so.
Okay.
You wrote about the Melodious Cave on Stafford. Tell us about
Yeah.
that.
Oh, that was a wonderful time. When would it have been? Around 2009 or so. Again, with Aidan, my partner, we I'd done a long race in the Alps, and I was tired, and I was quite obsessed with mountain running at the time. And Aidan said, "No, we're going to go sea kayaking for the weekend." I said,
Go
"Okay." And the
on.
forecast was good, and so we went to Mull, and our ambition, and we're kind of good enough sea kayakers, so on a flat sea we'll sort of manage, and if we needed to roll the kayak we probably could, but not that good in rough sea kind of thing. And so we were fortunate in the fact that the day we wanted to paddle our kayaks to Staffa and take a look at Fingal's Cave, it was a flat calm day. And
Right.
so we parked up at just off, it's over the small island just off the
Oh,
coast
yeah.
of Mull, and put our kayaks in the water and paddled out to Staffa. And yeah, and so,
How far is it to Staffa? Is it
oh goodness,
a
it's probably about 6 or 7 miles, something like that, about 10,
How
12
long would
K.
that take? I'm not a canoeist. How long would
Oh
that take
goodness,
you?
probably about 3 or 4, 3 hours. So, I mean, it was a while ago. So
Oh, it's a
let's say
fair
three,
old
four
trip
hours.
then.
Yeah, it was a decent day out. And like we were very fortunate we got to Staffa that it was flat calm, so we could actually paddle into the cave.
All right.
It's basalt. That's what the hexagonal shapes in the rock are formed by. And
Right.
it was so wonderful to be actually inside Fingal's Cave and just and. And we were lucky actually again, because there's lots of tourist boats that come out, and that's how most people see Fingal's Cave, understandably really. But we had it a bit of a quiet time, so we just had the cave to ourselves, and we just sort of
Oh,
sat
right.
there. It's quite a narrow cavern, and we just sort of sat there in our boats, and yeah, it was a wonderful experience really. I didn't, yeah, it melodious. It certainly felt very sort of striking and spiritual, really.
Sort of ethereal place. It
Yeah.
doesn't whistle or anything. I did wonder if it was like
Well, there's a bit of a thing, I remember a bit of an echo.
Oh, right,
Yeah.
okay. A bit of an echo. That'll do.
Yeah. But no, it was a wonderful, wonderful
The other
day out.
place you wrote about that really impresses me is one of the big, I guess, the Scottish heavyweights in terms of mountains is Anchialach. And I wondered how what inspired you to write about Anchialach.
Well, I suppose in mountain stories I write about quite a few of the mountain journeys I've had that have been particularly inspiring or memorable. And Anchialach, oh, it was such a beautiful day. It was a day in May,
Oh, right,
and
often the best time of year up here as
yeah, and
well,
it
yeah.
was there was a I remember hearing a cuckoo as we were sort of approaching, and again I
Okay.
was with Aidan as we were approaching the sort of steeper climb up onto the ridge. And yes, it was, we had a wonderful day on the ridges and the pinnacles of Antalak, and beautiful day it was. And we'd had quite a weekend in the hills. And the day before I'd done a hill race up Schlioch, which is not so far from Antalak. And so I was quite tired, quite weary, but I just remember sort of really my body kind of warming up into the day, and the day was so beautiful. It was, you know, even though I was tired, it still made lots of sense to be in the hills. And as we descended off Antelac, there's a wonderful waterfall close, not far from Dundonald, close to where we parked, and this big waterfall into a deep pool, and we just had a swim in the pool on our way down. And it was just a beautiful day in the hills. And you know, I wrote mountain stories at a time where I wrote it mostly during pandemic lockdowns, and it was very much a way of getting into contact with the mountains when I couldn't go. And so, you know, writing about my most memorable experiences really in the Scottish hills, the Scottish Highlands and Islands, was a way of getting to them when I couldn't go. And, you know, so it kind of, that day on Antelac is one of the best I've had, I think. And so it made complete sense to write about it.
Yeah, I've heard people talk about days on the hills, really about making memories. And yeah, I think there's some truth in that you,
very much.
You know, you, if when you have a special day on the hills, well, any day is special, I suppose. But
yeah,
sometimes you just catch it and it seems like the mountain gods smile upon you.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's
definitely one of those.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
let's face it, in some ways, those days feel like they're earned, aren't they? Because, you know, you spend time in the Scottish hills or in the Lake District or Wales or wherever, you know, you have the rain at least as much as you have days like that. And or at least the clag. And they're still good days, aren't they? But when you get the days when you can see and get those views onto the other hills and just get the sunlight and the shadows and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, they're special.
I mean, yeah, they definitely are. I think you basically, you have to pay for those days.
Yeah.
You have to pay for them in misery. when it's pouring down, it's wet, and the mountain gods say, okay, you've done,
yeah,
you've been miserable enough, and we'll give you a good day, you know.
Yeah,
and you talked there for a moment about the light on the hills and the way it changes. That must obviously inform your painting, and I know you've been painting in the Cairngorms, but one thing I wanted to ask you about, actually, before we talk about the Cairngorms, maybe, is am I right in thinking that you paint maps, is that right?
Yeah, no? Well, I yes, and so I've certainly for a while, and I'll still do some more in the future. I kind of painted, yeah, but yeah, so I did paint maps. You wouldn't want to navigate with them, John.
No,
but
I can understand that.
Yeah,
I'm old enough to remember the 1-inch tourist maps, which are, again, to be quite honest, you wouldn't want to navigate with.
Yeah.
But they were works of art in a way.
Very much. I've got a collection of them. I'm just going to remind myself of one, actually. I'm just close to me. Yeah, the Bartholomew maps. I've got a collection of quite a few of the Highland maps. And that's part of my, the Bartholomews that were typically cloth on card.
Oh, well, you're getting beyond me now.
1920s, 1930s. but no, maps are beautiful things, and cartography in itself is an art as much as it's a science.
Yes.
And so the maps I painted, I painted the maps of the Lake District and the Highlands. It's interesting because they're sort of inspired by Bartholomew's maps. And then also I use Google Maps to get a sense of the relief.
Sure. I think it's something that anybody who spends a lot of time in the outdoors, certainly navigating about the hills, certainly from the, I suppose, the pre-GPS era.
Oh, very much.
I think you kind of, maps were a sort of, and still are to me, a fascinating insight into the country.
Yeah.
And the kind of things that you can spend hours looking at. And
yeah, very much.
Imagining what it would be like to stand on that peak, you know?
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, I haven't raced so much in the past few years, but a lot of my racing in the past, hill racing and such like, has been the navigation events like the original Mountain Marathon and the Low Alpine Mountain Marathon in the Scottish Highlands when it existed. And that navigation element for me has always been a significant part of hill going, and it still is very much. Through the years, as I've improved as a map navigator, the way I can see a map now, the sort of, when I look at a map, it kind of rises up. You know, the contours rise up in front of you, and that's quite a, I think that's something that kind of, but certainly it didn't something that wasn't something that came naturally to me. But like you say, you know, spreading a map out on your kitchen table and planning where you're going to go, there's so much anticipation and excitement there, isn't there? And I still very much do that. And it's something I really love.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. I think I'm actually really bad at teaching navigation. And the reason for that is that it's kind of second nature to me. I look at a map and I see the landscape.
I couldn't tell you
how I see the landscape. I just do see it, you know?
Yeah.
But I understand that you recently started to get into painting in the Cairngorms. What drew you to paint the I don't know, I'm not a painter, so I don't know, but I would imagine that Cairngorms are not the easiest of places to paint, is that right?
Well, I mean, I started painting it sort of incidentally the time I was went to Ben Hope, sort of 2009, it was 2009 or so I started painting, and it was the Highlands in particular that inspired me to start painting. My style's changed quite a bit over the years, and the thing that drew me to the Cairngorms, really, it was interesting. So when I finished writing Mountain Stories, and that was spring 2020, so spring last year, 2021, I didn't write about my trips into the Cairngorms in Mountain Stories, and that wasn't because they weren't some of my most special, because they were. I think it's because I was a bit freaked, you know. I mean, you know, Nan Shepherd, The Living Mountain, and also her poetry. It was almost like her writing is so good, you know. I was a bit overawed by it, really. But Nan's poetry, and in particular, she writes about light in the mountains, and you know, in particular, light in the Cairngorms, and some of her poetry is just, you know, you can tell how aware she is about how light makes a place look.
Yeah.
And that kind of drew me to my own homage, if you like, to the Cairngorms. I live in Yorkshire, and I've got a couple of young kids, so you know, I don't get loads of time to go off by myself wandering in the hills these days. That's not a complaint, that's just how it is. But I have had this year, I've taken the overnight sleeper up to Aviemore a few times and sort of gone out wandering in the Cairngorms and just being there, sleeping out there and taking photographs and swimming in the lochs and just generally drinking tea on the side of a mountain and looking at the way looking at the way light changes the scenes and so when you, I mean, the Cairngorms are different from typical spiky mountains. You know, you've got the plateau, and actually incidentally I've just coming to a point of finishing a painting of the plateau on the Ben Arm side.
And it's
actually really quite tricky to paint the plateau.
I should imagine it is.
Yeah, but you got the I've just been experiencing this week and sort of thinking about it a bit. It is quite tricky to paint the plateau, but you've got the recesses and they're as special as the peaks, and you know the peaks are quite special in themselves, but so, you know, you get shape and light in the recesses. And then there's also, you know, light on the water of the lochs and places. And there is really something about the Cairngorms light that really does, it is very special. And so
I think that's right. Yeah.
And
I mean, I always think the Cairngorms, it takes a while to begin to know the Cairngorms.
Yeah,
they're not, as you say, they're not great spiky things, but yet they have a sort of secret side to them. The further you go in, and I always think also there's something special about the Cairngorms sky.
Yeah,
it has. This is a stupid phrase I've got, but it's a big sky.
Oh no, very much. It really is. I completely agree, and so in painting the Cairngorms, I've been exploring that. It's not just about, of course, about light. Although, I mean, one thing that I've not always painted, and I've run around the hills for a lot longer than I painted, and it was only really when I started painting I started to realise the way light really does change the look and feel of a mountain. And I'm sure other people see it already, you know, but that was just me. But yes, I think in getting to know the Cairngorms and I think, you know, you could spend a lifetime wandering around them and still I wouldn't get bored of them if I did that. But the way what painting has helped me to do from a distance, because like I say, I mean, to be honest, I'd love to go to the Cairngorms and Highlands in general more than I do, but it enables me to spend time with them when I'm at
Yeah,
home in
yeah.
Yorkshire, which is a really nice way of getting back into them, really.
Do
So
you think that I'm just interested to know, because obviously I'm not a painter either, but does painting a mountain or a glen, do you think it changes your relationship with the place?
I certainly feel like that. The thing is, for a long time, I spent a long time running fast around mountains and just generally doing things fast. And
Yeah.
painting them is probably one of the slowest things you can do with
Yes, I
things.
suppose it is.
And
I might
so,
clean
as
it up.
such, yeah. But as such, you get a real sense of the shape and the contours and the
Yeah,
shadows and things.
yeah.
And yeah, it's so you really do, I mean, I painted somewhere, and you go back to it and you think, yeah, I actually, I really do know that shape and that peak or
Yeah.
that crevice or whatever. I really do know that quite well. And it's, yeah, it does, it sort of gets you in touch with a place. I certainly find it a very nice and endearing way, really, of getting into contact with the landscape that I like, I love, frankly. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of the things about the Cairngorms particularly is it's so difficult to, I would imagine, so difficult to capture. There's a kind of savage grandeur there
Yeah.
that is
Yeah.
perhaps unique, I think, amongst British mountains.
Yeah. I mean, I find a lot, yes. I mean, there's a lot of feeling as well in the place. And I think, I mean, I was talking to another painter a while ago just about, the sort of emotions you go through when you're painting. And she said, you're painting feelings as much as you're painting a landscape or whatever you happen to be painting. And she's right, you can sort of capture emotion, well, at least try. I mean, I think that's kind of what I try to do a bit, capture the
Yeah.
way I feel about a place when I paint somewhere. And yeah, so, and that's it. Yeah, you can capture more than the physical thing when you paint, I think. At least that's what I try and do. I don't
Well,
know how that
it's a
sounds.
bit like I think it's a bit like writing, really.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
You're
Yeah.
kind of writing about your own emotions,
Mm.
probably more than you're writing about the place, to be honest. Because a rock is a rock,
Yeah.
really. It's a way.
I mean, it's the way you describe it, isn't it?
It's the
So,
way it makes you feel, and it's what it makes you experience, which is actually
yeah,
worthwhile, you know?
yeah,
Am I right in
completely.
thinking that you are produced, or you have produced a calendar? Is that right?
Yeah, I've got a calendar this for 2023 of my paintings. There's a few of my Cairngorm paintings in there, along with some of the Lake Districts and the Rocky Mountains and the Dolomites and
Oh, wow. Okay, so it's
yeah,
quite
so
extensive.
yeah, certain that's available on my website at the moment.
Well, that's a
So
good point, actually. Where if people want to get a sort of feel for your painting and your artwork as well as your
yeah,
books, where are your books available? Let's start with that
well, my
first.
books are available on the Little Peak website,
Right.
littlepeak.co.uk, and there's quite a few other books there as well, which are sort of mountain themed, mountain inspired books.
Okay.
And my paintings are, you can go and take a look at them at heatherdoor.co.uk. And there's quite, yeah, there's various blogs and things there as well that talk about my inspiration for both writing and painting. And that my calendar's available there along with my books
Oh
and
right,
things.
okay, that sounds really useful. So I'll put a link to that on the page for this podcast. So and have you got any great projects that you're working towards? I mean, you clearly don't have a lot of time at this stage in your
No,
life, but.
well, I sort of eke out time, so I've been painting a reasonable amount. But it's funny actually. I've been writing short stories this year.
All right.
I don't, and I've never really written fiction before, but it kind of stem. It's a sort of bit of a combination of what it's short stories that have been inspired by rock climbing, which I used to do a lot of when I was younger, and I
Right.
also I'm getting really back into now. On the gritstone crags and such around
Oh, I
where
know
I
I'm
live in
well,
Yorkshire.
yeah.
Yeah, wonderful places. So I live near to Armscliff and Cayley, which are two classic Yorkshire venues for climbing. So yes, so I've been it's kind of a combination of memoir and climbing stories and a bit of folklore, and and dystopian fiction, really. I suppose it's sort of speculative fiction, if you like. But so I've got a collection of them. Well, I'm getting a collection of them together. I've had two actually. Well, one published in Alpen East earlier this year, and another one's just coming out in the next edition of Alpen East. And then also a story.
When do you sort of anticipate that they'll be published? We're talking about sort of next year sometime.
Yeah, I think so. Next year, it will be in the latter half of next year. So, and they've been it's something quite different to work on, but and a complete joy. I'm finding it fascinating because I've typically written memoir before, but fiction, you can kind of blend different things, and obviously, it's a story, so you can do, it can take you where you like. And as such, it's sort of, yeah, combining, like I say, my own experiences, but in a fictional way, I can blend things that happen with stories and with, like I say, with folklore and a bit of dystopian stuff. It's all it's been a real great thing to
Well,
do.
I do a bit of that myself. It's now quite difficult for me to know what's truth and what's fiction, to be quite honest. I've given up trying to draw the line,
Well, yes, it's interesting that something it's like it's been a real experience. It's been great. I don't know if I'll ever find myself writing longer fiction. Maybe I mean I shouldn't say I never say
Never say
never.
never.
Yeah, when that but exploring it through short stories has been fantastic. It's something I've really enjoyed.
Absolutely, it sounds brilliant. And I don't suppose you've got a title for this collection yet, no?
A working title of Dreams of Lost Buttresses,
Oh, wow,
which
that
was
sounds really all right. That's very good, that. Well,
which is the first.
you'll have to come on this back on the show when that comes out, you know?
Thank you, John. That would be great.
I look forward to that. Anyway, Heather, it's been fascinating talking to you, and I wish you every luck with your painting, and capturing the Cairngorms is certainly a challenge. So it's been great fun talking to you, and I wish you all the best for the future. Thanks then.
Thank you very much, John. It's been great talking to you.
If you're a fan of outdoor podcasts and it's what floats your boat, well, I did an interview with a great little podcast station, The Outdoor Station, which is the longest running podcast about the outdoors there is, which is quite an achievement, I think. Been going for about 17 years, so they must have been right in at the very start of podcasting, which was I was kind of a few years after that when I started podcasting, but it was quite an adventure, I have to say. And people say, "You're making a podcast. What's a podcast?" And you'd sort of think, well, what year is this? Anyway, I had a great talk with Bob Cartwright from the Outdoors Station. They've got, I think, what, several hundred podcasts that cover similar subjects, the sort of thing I talk about, really. So I'll put some links there so you can pop over to the Outdoors Station. And I hope you enjoy my little interview as well. Lovely talking to Heather Dorr. I'll put some links to her book. And also to her website. So if you'd like to see her paintings, you can go there. And also, just before I go, I'd just like to say thanks very much to everyone who's been commenting on my little book, Bothy Tales. It's a success full beyond my wildest imagination, quite frankly. And people have been getting in touch and saying how much they enjoy it. And it's rather pathetic, to be quite honest, because us authors, we like a bit of flattery. So if you've enjoyed Bothy Tales, do let me know. I'll be very happy to hear it. One of the great things about the internet is that for an author, I can actually talk to my audience, which you couldn't do before. And that's a great thing, I think, most of the time. Anyway, lovely to have you along. Do hope you've enjoyed the show. Do call again. Thanks, bye-bye.